Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, on that wonderful cross where he died in our place, to reconcile us to you and to one another. Help us by your Spirit to live and to walk in that ministry of reconciliation that you have given to us. And to turn each day to the cross, mindful of the blood that was shed to make it all possible. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our New Testament lesson, the epistle from 2 Corinthians, really sets the tone for what this Lenten season is all about and what even today we as brothers and sisters in Christ should be all about. In the life of the church, we often talk about ministry. Lutheran circles, we talk about the ministry of word and sacrament. But we also use the term ministry sometimes rather loosely. We talk about youth ministry or senior adult ministry. We talk about visitation ministry, or we talk about all sorts of different types of ministry, music ministry, family ministry. But none of those are really mentioned in Scripture. In fact, in our text today, we really have the only ministry that's ever mentioned. It says in verse 19 that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And previously in verse 18, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What does it mean to be reconciled? Well, there are expressions that we use. Maybe it's the expression that a parent might use with siblings. Make up. Say you're sorry. Maybe it's the expression of bury the hatchet. But somehow it is all about repairing broken relationships. Starting first of all with that relationship that we have with God. And if we look at the Gospel of Luke, and today our lesson is that wonderful parable of the lost. But if we look at the context that parable comes to us in, we see that going all the way back to chapter 14, Jesus is talking about humanity. It's about being lost. And what do you do when you're lost? And he contrasts those who are truly lost with those who are righteous. I'm righteous. Are you? Vic, you're shaking your head like this. But you see, I'm Lutheran. I was born Lutheran. My parents and grandparents and great-grandparents were all Lutheran. Well, there was that one
branch that was a little bit Catholic, but I'm righteous. Well, that's what was going on at Jesus' time. Hey, I can trace my family line back to Abraham. I've been a Jew all my life. I go to synagogue faithfully. I sacrifice at the temple. I'm righteous. Must put me in good with God, right? Jesus starts dealing with those who have that attitude, and he starts telling different parables and different stories. And we have the parable of the wedding banquet. And he says, you know, when you have a banquet, what you ought to be about is not just inviting your righteous friends. You ought to be about inviting the poor and the crippled, the lame, the blind. Because you see, they can't repay you like your righteous friends. If you're righteous, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to take up your cross daily? If not, you probably need to take a look at your life. You think that you impact the world being righteous? You're just like salt. It's good, but if it loses its saltiness, it's of no value. What do you value? If a woman loses a coin, does she forget about it? Or if a man has 100 sheep and loses one, does he forget about it? Because you see, in your righteous attitude, you want to just push aside those who are lost, those who are not like you, those who don't measure up, those who speak a little different or dress a little different, or those who smell a little different. Jesus tells that series of parables. And it's really all about the ministry of reconciliation. It's all about seeking and saving the lost. It's all about understanding who needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we get to this parable that everybody struggles over on what to call it. I grew up knowing it as the parable of the prodigal son. And it wasn't until I got to college that I figured out what prodigal meant. Okay, here's the test. How many of you know what it means? Let's see. Okay, for the rest of you, think this. Wasteful. Wasteful. But if you really look at the parable, we discover that it's not only the one son who's wasteful. There's a lot of waste going on in this parable.
Because you have this son who goes to his father with all boldness and says, "Can I have my share of the inheritance now?" And I'm thinking, what a father. I mean, how many of us would go to our parents before they're dead and go, "Can I have my share now?" I see somebody looking at their parent. Welcome home, Sarah. "Can I have it now?" I don't know about what you would just said, Donna, but my dad would go, "Yeah, right. No." But this father gives it. And the son goes and he is prodigal. He's wasteful. He spends it all. He squanders it. Till he finds himself in such a place that he is destitute and perhaps even embarrassed. And he goes home, swallows his pride, and makes confession to his father. And by the way, these words are a powerful confession. "I have sinned against God and against you, Father." And then the father is wasteful. You know what's interesting, if you read the text here though, and it says that his father sees him coming from a long way off. And it says, and he was filled with compassion. I ask myself, and I kind of maybe sometimes read into this a little bit, but when does the father's heart change? Now, granted, he's probably missed his son, but you got to wonder if there hasn't been a little bit of anger in his heart. And boy, if I ever see my son again, I'm just going to lay into him. But he sees the son coming and it says he had compassion on him. The kid must have been dressed in rags. Must have looked pathetic. And the father runs out to greet him. And he throws his arms around his son and kisses him. Doesn't care what his son looks like, how dirty he is, how smelly he is. But is so grateful to see his son. That he has compassion. The son makes his confession. And the father goes, "Son, we're going to celebrate." Puts on clothes and the ring. Brings him into the house. Has the servants kill the calf. And sends out word to his neighbors, "Come, my son who was lost has been found. This son who was dead is alive again. Come, celebrate." I've killed the calf. Is the father wasteful? Well, we've heard the story enough that we go, no, and we put ourselves into the shoes of the younger son and go, "No, this is a great father. Look at the party. This isn't wasteful." Well, the other son certainly thinks it is. You see, he's the righteous one. He's the one that's
done it right. He's the one who remembered to set his clock ahead an hour to get to church on time. He's the one who's written off his brother with anger and hardness of heart. And the one who doesn't understand what it means to be reconciled. God gives to us the ministry of reconciliation. And there are in our circles of family and friends those who have squandered, who have been so focused on what they want and what they have that they have sold themselves, if you will, into the pig pens of despair and who wallow in the sins of this world. And when they finally figure it out, they don't know sometimes how to get back because they're so lost. There's a whole world of people like that. And so God entrusts to us a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of somehow bringing people to the cross, a ministry of introducing them to a Savior that is prodigal, a Savior that is wasteful, because He gives us everything. And much more than what we deserve, He gives to us His own body and blood on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins. That ministry of reconciliation is all about introducing people to a Christ who loves them, a Christ who celebrates them, a Christ who gives His own life so that that wedding feast, that banquet of heaven is open. God pursues us like the Father. He runs down the road like the Father and grabs us in His arms and loves us with all of the filth of our sin. And He prepares that heavenly banquet with the finest of foods and wines. And it's all possible because of His own Son, Jesus. How do we respond? How do we react to those who come across our paths who are different, who are lost? Are we wasteful? Are we prodigal in our approach, in our celebrations of taking and killing the fatted calf and celebrating? Do we, like the angels, celebrate in heaven when one lost sheep comes to repentance and is saved? Do we rejoice with the woman who finds the coin? Are we the father who hugs the son? Do we kill the calf? Go to those lengths to say someone who was lost has been found and we celebrate their redemption in Jesus Christ. That He who is dead is alive. As we move forward in mission and ministry here at Christ Lutheran, it is important and valuable and crucial to remember
that in all things what we are truly about is seeking the lost, reaching out with the gospel, reconciling God's lost sheep back to Him through the power of the blood of the Lamb, and working to celebrate each and every sinner who's saved. We have opportunity every day. Some of them we let slip through our fingers. Some of them we embrace. And some of them we see but hesitate. Sometimes we're worried about what people are thinking about us, when what we ought to be thinking about is what they need from God. Let me put it to you this way. The Father wasn't afraid to make a fool out of Himself when He lost all of His dignity to run down the road to greet His Son. So when you witness your faith in Jesus Christ and share what you know to be the truth of the gospel and that message of reconciliation, don't be afraid to embarrass yourself. Right, Bob? Bob does it all the time. He witnesses to people in the hospital all the time. He doesn't worry about what people think of him. He just does it. Jerry does it. Right, Jerry? You don't worry about what people think, do you? Yeah. You just do it. Because there's this passion and there's energy in your heart that says, I know Jesus. And I want you to know him too. I'll leave you with this picture, and I think I've shared this story with you before. Some more than 10 years ago, during the big forest fire up in Colorado, I was in the local grocery store, and I watched these smoke jumpers come in, and they're covered from head to toe with soot and dirt and grime. And I watched this lady in the grocery store who was dressed to the hilt. I mean, she looked like she was going out that night on the town. And she saw those smoke jumpers, and she went up, and she gave each one of them the biggest bear hug that she could. Because, you see, her house had been saved from being burned. And when she finished hugging them, she was covered from head to toe with soot and grime. And she didn't care. Don't be afraid to get dirty in expressing the love of God to others in our lives. Don't be afraid to show people that God cares for them and loves them. Be those hands and those arms of Jesus. Because you see, when we do, God's setting the banquet table. He's killing the calf. He's serving the finest wines. And he's got the meal ready. Let's share the love of Jesus. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith of God in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.